Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, the idea that education should affect people's lives beyond the classroom, you know, that has been a part of the UW system for more than a century. And our next guest is one of the best examples of that philosophy. Bassam Shakashiri, Professor Shakashiri, back with us, Professor of Chemistry at UW-Madison, known for his leadership in national science policy, promoting excellence in science education at all levels, and for his development and use of demonstrations in the teaching of chemistry. Talking with him now about the future of the Wisconsin idea, a little bit about him, too, and what you and I can do to help fight global warming, talk about the importance of science literacy, and I hope you'll join in the conversation. Were you ever a student of Bassam's, maybe? A question about the topics we talk about? Join in. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Bassam, welcome back.
I'm so happy to be with you, Larry. Happy to be with your audience always. It's such a joy and such a good experience for me, and I hope for the audience.
Well, I tell you, you had a big announcement. I want to get that out right away on the 17th, and you need to share that with our audience in case they didn't know.
Well, I marked a very important milestone. I retired from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. But that's only a formality, Larry, because the challenges that we face and the ethos that we have makes us all continue on good, strong trajectories to do what we can do for the common good. So this is an important milestone. I've been flooded with messages from all over the country, from even outside the country, email messages, text messages, phone calls. And you know what? I should start answering some of those now. It's been a couple of weeks since this has happened, publicly announced. And Larry, for a very large portion of my 51 years as a faculty member at UW-Madison, I have been a guest on your show, and that continues to be a pleasure. And I hope you'll ask me again. You know, your producer Jill said, you know, will you come and visit with us again? And I said, Jill, what kind of a silly question is that? All you have to do is ask me. I'm not going anywhere. We have hard work ahead of us, and I enjoy being on your program, and my activities will continue. Not full-scale activities. The annual Christmas lecture, you know, we had 50 years of that, so I think that we curtained down on the annual Christmas lecture. But so many other activities that we continue to be engaged in. And Larry, over the decades, you have always been very kind to mention my website. My website will continue to be vigorously active with and rich with offerings on a variety of topics that relate not only to science, but to culture, to religion, to global warming. And so I'm not going away.
You know, Jeff in Muskego has something that relates, I believe, right to this. Let's go there and get Jeff in. Jeff, hi.
Hi. This is Jeff Stobie. I've been a student of Professor Shakashiri for over 40 years.
You have.
Good to hear from you. Good to hear from you, Jeff. Thank you so much. You've been one of the most faithful people to come and attend the annual Once Upon a Christmas Cheery in the Lab of Shakashiri. And from here on, you, Jeff, and others can enjoy watching the programs that PBS Wisconsin has posted on their website, and they're also posted on my website. So, Jeff, so good to hear from you.
Glad to talk with you. That I guess the big thing I was going to say is you need to have a going out of business Christmas show. because you missed last year because of COVID. You really need to have one of those, like with the fireworks, they have a grand finale where they all kind of, go all up at once, just so we can appreciate the last show.
I'm game for all kinds of celebrations, but I'm not ready to have a last show, Jeff. We're all going to work together, all of us in the listening audience and others as well. We're going to work together to help mitigate global warming, which is the single most difficult, challenging question that humanity has ever faced. So I'm not going away. And all my programs and all the home experiments we have on the website, we will continue to add to those. We will continue to increase our offerings in climate change. But I'm glad to hear from you, Jeff, and I miss seeing you in person. I hope that will happen again sometime soon.
Jeff, thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234. As you think about it, what are some of your most memorable moments from your tenure here at UW-Madison? Certainly there were many, many.
How much time do we have, Larry? so many great moments. What's been most rewarding to me includes hearing from the listening audience, getting email messages, text messages, even questions on the air. Also, hearing from people from around the world who watch the Once Upon a Christmas Cheery in the Labushaka Shuri program, hearing from parents and grandparents who were in my class and who encourage their children and their grandchildren and their neighbors to engage in meaningful ways of inquiry, so that we can improve our attitudes toward learning, our attitudes toward doing good in the world. So that's been very, very rewarding to me. And of course, the support from UW-Madison has been crucial. My tenured appointment at UW-Madison made it all possible. And 51 years, that's a long time. But as I keep saying, we've got hard work ahead of us, and we want to continue with our scholarly activities. We want to continue to serve our state. We want to live the Wisconsin idea in the 21st century. We build on what others before us have done, but we want to look forward and work hard to serve Wisconsin, serve the nation, and serve the world. And that's why I'm looking forward to hearing from others in the listening audience as they want to call in or send messages later about what they want to do, what else we should all be doing to enjoy life to the fullest and to contribute toward the common good.
Someone was wondering, as a matter of fact, is someone stepping into your role? I don't think, not necessarily to do the lab, but someone, will there be somebody kind of picking up your official role as a university professor?
Well, there are, younger faculty members who have joined the department, and they will do their own contributions in the ways that they feel are appropriate to where their expertise lies. My own group, which includes some graduate students and others from around the country, will continue to develop material that is suitable to be posted on our website. And so, yes, I expect others to continue with these types of activities, but every one has got to do it their own way, and I hope their own way always serves the common good.
And you mentioned the Wisconsin idea. That's part of your mission, certainly. How long ago did that start? What's a little bit of the history of that?
Over 100 years ago, President of the UW said that the boundaries of the university are the boundaries of the state. And that declaration inspired faculty and others to participate fully in scholarly activities, but also in seeing to it that these scholarly activities were used to serve the state. And since then, the idea was, the Wisconsin idea was expanded to reach all around the globe. And so living the Wisconsin idea in the 21st century is crucial to the well-being of our state. It's crucial to the well-being of each of our communities, no matter what our political views are or religious beliefs are. It's really important to enjoy and to contribute to the quality of life in Wisconsin. And the Wisconsin idea concept has produced so many good things in the past. Social security, satellites for tracking weather, warfarin, the medication developed by our researchers here.
A lot.
Ice cream. A lot.
And we'll talk some more, and we'll take your calls. Tom in Milwaukee, I hope you can hang on, because we will take a quick look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we will be back with Bassam Shakashiri. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're celebrating and talking with and really celebrating the work of our regular guest, Bassam Shakashiri. Bassam announced his retirement as a professor of chemistry at UW-Madison a couple of weeks ago. Known for his leadership in national science policy and promoting excellence in science education at all levels, and for his development and use of demonstrations in teaching chemistry. So how has that all affected your life? Questions for Bassam. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Tom in Milwaukee, thanks for waiting.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Well, I just wanted to thank the professor for all that he's done over the years. I've been a longtime listener to the program, and it's always a pleasure when the professor is on. And I wanted to tell him of what an important part he has played in my family, being that I have two children. They both know that I listen to NPR all the time and, of course, have always talked about when the professor is on. That sparked an interest in science for both of them. I'm going to use my oldest, which is my daughter, as the primo example, I guess, in saying that when she started at UW-Madison, I was able to take and listen to a lecture by the professor when they did a parent breakout thing, of course, because I already knew him and loved him and stuff, and was so impressed by that. And I just wanted to tell him, even though she may not have had him as a professor, she went on and is now a professor at Penn State in human genomics. So thank you very much, Professor. You've been an inspiration to so many people.
Oh, that's great, but Sam, that's
I'm very grateful to hear this, and I express deep, sincere appreciation for what I just heard. I really don't want to say this, but I've been drowned with such messages, and I'm such a fortunate and lucky person, and I accept your thanks.
Yeah.
The real way you can thank me is for you and others in your family and in your community to do good in the world. That's the real way you can thank me.
Tom, thank you. Nick in Green Bay, let's go to you. Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Hi, Nick. What's on your mind? Oh, do we lose Nick? Oh, maybe we might have lost Nick. Oh, he may come back. That's all right. You can join in too, by the way. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments or thoughts. You know, but Sam, it's disheartening to me. I'm sure it is to you and to probably a lot of people to see all of the science, the misinformation that's going on out there in the world relating to science. What advice do you have for people when it comes to finding out the truth?
It is disheartening, but it also should inspire us, those of us in science, those of us in education, those of us who are responsible for the quality, for helping the quality of life. It should inspire us to engage in meaningful, respectful conversations about the issues. And I want to emphasize the word respectful. Respectful of the other person or persons as a human being, as human beings. I'm not saying respectful of their ideas and so on. Connecting science to society is a crucial responsibility that scientists have. And we're getting to be better at it. There are programs, activities that help increase the level of science literacy. Science literacy is the appreciation of science without a deep understanding of physics, chemistry, or biology. So working on science literacy is an attitude that develops over time, and it empowers us to understand the beautiful, complex world that we live in, but it also helps us live with each other in meaningful, respectful ways as responsible members of our community. So the connection between science and society is important. And in our formal classroom activities and in our graduate research programs, we should help our students learn not only the scientific facts and the scientific concepts, but help them connect science to society. And that's why I'd like to mention one specific program that we will continue to do. This is to encourage graduate students getting their PhD at UW-Madison and hopefully elsewhere too, but at UW-Madison, to include a chapter in their thesis explaining their scholarly work to a non-science audience. And we've been doing this for about 10 years. And these chapters are edited and worked on together by myself, and we have an editor that works on it. And then we post them on the website. So if you go to scifun.org, scifun.org, please go there and have a look at these chapters. Learn more about what the UW graduate programs in science are all about. It's a an opening for everyone. So these kinds of things, Larry, would help deal with what you called misinformation, and it would help address ways by which we can work together so as we listen to the concerns of people who may be misunderstanding or maybe misinformed. We can help a great deal by engaging in these kinds of activities.
Yeah. Yeah, Nick in Green Bay is back, and I want to give Nick a chance to get in. Thanks for calling, Nick.
I think it's because I said I don't like sports and I live in Green Bay, but I just was going to say you can't retire. We're not going to let you because you've been such a huge inspiration to us. Like my whole family, we have no use for sports, but science is just amazing. My daughter and my son are like 10 and 12, and they're going to get their ham radio license and stuff just because of us watching you and listening to you. You have no idea how much you affected people's lives. So it's amazing.
Oh, Nick, thank you. But Sam?
I'm grateful to hear all this. And as I said, Nick, a little earlier, and will continue to say, I am not going away. We'll still do some things in a sharply focused way. We can't do the 21 things that we were doing, you know, over the past 50 plus years. But what is really important to me is that you, Nick, and others that you speak with and visit with, that you help them understand what I really tried to do and what you say I somehow partially succeeded in doing. This is an attitude about learning. It's an attitude about making sense of the world that we live in. It's an attitude that we should inculcate in all of us so that we can live joyfully and respectfully. It doesn't mean we don't disagree with each other. It doesn't mean that we don't vote at election time in different ways, but it does mean that we care about the environment that we're in. We care about our fellow human beings and all creatures that our planet has. So it's a sense of responsibility. It's a sense of personal responsibility and collective responsibility. And those are very, very important, especially nowadays as we pay more attention. We should have been doing this before. Now we're paying more attention to being inclusive. That's a very important part of the attitude that I'm talking about. We have a very rich heritage, and this heritage empowers us to learn about the good things that our ancestors did and also not so good things that they did, so that we can do, as I keep saying, we can do good in the world. We all have a finite number of heartbeats left in us. We don't know what that number is, but we should dedicate ourselves, as I know most people do, to use those heartbeats to enjoy life and to contribute to the quality of life in our communities, small community, immediate community, state community, across the nation and around the world.
But Sam, you mentioned a few times now, you've mentioned climate change. And you've been talking about climate change for a very long time, certainly on this show, and much more off the show. What do you think we can do to slow it down? What do we have as individuals even?
Yeah, as I said, it's the single largest challenge facing humanity ever. And we can mitigate, we can help mitigate. There are some specific things that we need to understand what is going on, but we should understand that very quickly because we have a race against time here. So we should learn about the telltales of global warming. On my website, I have a map, two maps actually, the so-called plant hardiness maps, that show the effect on the state of Wisconsin in the past 20 plus years. I also have on the website, scifun.org, scifun.org, what you can do, the kinds of things that we can do individually and collectively, as I say, increase our knowledge, scientific knowledge of climate change. We should make commitments to take responsible action, and I emphasize the word responsible, to help mitigate global warming. We can buy less stuff, change those light bulbs. Larry, you and I talked about LEDs in our homes before. Use a program thermostat. Learn more about the research that is making it possible for us, will make it possible for us get away from our over-reliance on the use of fossil fuels as a source of energy. We need to reduce our emissions of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. So we can walk, we can ride a bike, use more public transportation, switch to a car with a better fuel economy, maybe even a hybrid car or an electric car, or all kinds of things that can be done. But what's important is to understand what is happening as a result of human activity and how we can reduce harm to our planet. In that same connection, Larry, I want to mention that my group and I have posted on our website a workbook for teachers and faculty, for undergraduate faculty and for high school teachers, a workbook that helps include climate science concepts into their classrooms. This is not a new curriculum. This is ways by which we can incorporate into our current classroom curricula activities and concepts that relate to global warming. And I invite everyone in the listening audience to visit my website and have a look at what this workbook deals with, and then tell teachers in your community about it. Spread the word out. It's free and available to anyone who wants to use it. And it is a dynamic document. In other words, we will be continuing to add to it and make changes in it, especially changes based on what we hear back from faculty and from teachers.
And well, I think we have in our program notes today, too, we have a link to that book, the Climate Workbook, in our program note for today's date at ideas at WPR.org/Larry. So we appreciate that. And it is a dandy book and one that I think a lot of people, and even if you're not a teacher, it could be a useful book for you. Jim in Platteville has something for us. Jim, hi.
Hi. I was just wondering why all the computer modeling that's done for climate change has absolutely nothing to say about what happened. They cannot compute it, what happened between like 1910 and 1940. The weather was all over the place, very extreme, just as much as right now, and yet the computer models have nothing to do, have to say nothing about it. Can't figure it out.
Part of appreciating the scientific process is to learn what these models and other models are based upon. So let me say something about global warming. There are natural causes to global warming. There's no question about that. But human activity since the Industrial Revolution has greatly made global warming accelerate. And the models that are proposed are always subject to scrutiny, are subject to change. So they are not cast in stone. They are in part mathematical descriptions based on data that are available and project to what's going to happen. But there's no question whatsoever, Jim, that the models across time since the Industrial Revolution clearly show the increase in the temperature of the planet and correlation with the amount of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases, but mostly carbon dioxide, on what's happening, including what's happening now.
Yeah. Jim, thank you for calling. John in Brown Deer, we'll go to you. Hi, John.
Thank you for accepting my call. I just thought Professor Shakashiri would like to hear my personal anecdote, and hopefully that's so. I retired from the Milwaukee Public Schools in 2001, and enrolled at UWM and earned a certification of completion in the field of chemistry, essentially a major in chemistry. And I'm 75 years old right now, and I'm still enrolled as a student, but as an auditor, and I work with a mentoring professor, and I do research at home, mainly reading journals and sharing the articles I read with the professor, and sometimes writing up little reports, et cetera, et cetera. I thoroughly enjoy it. I'm so glad I took this path of after I retired. So I just thought you might like to hear that.
Yes, thank you so much, John. There's so many different activities we all can engage in at different ages, and so Yes, please continue to do that. And you mentioned the word mentoring. I think it's important for us to be mentors to each other. You know, I learn from you. Hopefully you learn something from me. But in the mentoring process, whether it's at an educational institution or in society at large, both the mentor and the mentee learn from it. And it's a cooperative, collaborative sort of activity. So thank you, John, for sharing that.
John, appreciate that very much. And Dennis in Two Rivers, your turn.
Hi. What bugs me is people complain about electric cars and batteries not being worthwhile because the technology isn't working out. But the thing is, any advanced technology takes a while to advance. So people use technology as if it's perfect from the beginning, and it never is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so right, Dennis. I think our expectations should be realistic. So understanding how the flow of knowledge yields to new inventions and new technologies, it takes time. It takes experimentation. It takes we have to be patient about that. We have to learn from the progress that is made so that we can improve on the quality of vehicles that we use for transportation. So this is a very, very good point about not expecting everything to work immediately right away.
Yeah, think about those hand calculators that, you know, they added and divided first and multiplied maybe, and now you look at what they can do and at about a cost of what the originals were. So there you go. But Sam, I was trying to think of how many times you and I don't know how many hundreds of hours we've spent on the air together. It's been many, many fabulous hours of you talking and teaching. And hopefully we'll still be able to have you back. But in the meantime, I want to congratulate and thank you for all you've given for our Wisconsin Public Radio listeners and to the people of Wisconsin. So, but Sam, thank you very much for all you've done. I really appreciate you being with us today.
I'm grateful, Larry, to you and to the audience. And it's been a mutually beneficial, I hope. I speak for myself. It's been very, very beneficial. And Larry, you're not dismissing me now, are you?
Well, I have to dismiss you now because we're out of time. But we'll get you back. We'll do it again. Thanks, Bassam. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks, everyone.
Bassam Shakashiri, just recently retired professor of chemistry. Always been fun to having him with us on the show. Well, looking ahead tomorrow, Jamie Nack and David Drake back to talk about wildlife, giving us an update on migration and also the hunting seasons. That's tomorrow at 11. In the meantime, there's lots more in store right through the afternoon. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.